In this day and age, many people are anxious. They worry a lot. And there are a lot of things happening in this world that cause people to worry. Why do people worry? What makes people worry? Worry is caused by fear of the unknown. What will happen tomorrow? Will it get worse? Will the stock market go even lower? Will I lose my job? Will I get paid? Not knowing what is going to happen is very scary for some people. People fear that some evil is going to happen to something that they treasure. It could be their own lives. Something's going to happen to me. It could be their loved ones. Or it could be their material possessions. And that is very often the case. They worry about their stuff. Very often, it is our treasure that causes us to be anxious and to worry. Not really the circumstances, but the treasure. And certain treasures will make us worry more than others. Parking a brand new car at the mall is more nerve-wracking than parking an old pickup truck. We try to go on the line, take two spaces. This morning in our text, Jesus is going to address the issue of anxiety. He will answer several questions that people have about anxiety and worry. He is going to mention the cure for anxiety, and he is going to encourage us not to be anxious. His advice to us today is, do not be anxious. So please turn with me to our text. We are still in the book of Luke. We are going to be there for a while. This is our study of the life of Jesus. And we continue today where we stopped last week. We're at verse 22. We saw that this chapter 5 has five parts dealing with the description of five servants. The first one was a worthy servant. Second one was the worthless servant. Today is the worried servant. Then we will see the watchful servant, and then the willful, rebellious servant. So we have covered the first two. So today we take the third one, dealing with the worried servant, and learn not to be anxious. So Luke continues and says in verse 22, and he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? At this point, it is clear that Jesus is particularly addressing his disciples. He's not talking to unbelievers. That would not relate. Earlier, he was interrupted by a man in the crowd who asked him to settle a family argument about an inheritance. If you remember, Jesus refused to get involved, refused to be a referee in a family argument. He did not come from heaven to be an arbitrator, but to be a savior, to seek and to save the lost. He also knew that no answer would solve their problem. It's extremely hard to please a lover of money. So Jesus used the interruption to talk about greed and covetousness. He explained that life does not consist in the abundance of things a person possesses. Then he told the story of the rich fool who never saw beyond himself nor never saw beyond this world. And his nearsightedness cost him a lot. Then he continued to talk to his disciples who had no fields and no barns. And he warned them about anxiety and worldly cares. A person does not need to be rich in order to have a problem with greed and anxiety. It is possible to be poor and have problem with anxiety and worry. The rich farmer worried because he had too much. And the disciples might be tempted to worry because they did not have enough. They had given up everything they had in order to follow Jesus. They were living by faith. And faith is always tested. So for that reason, Jesus had words of encouragement for them. Now, some people today worry because they have many possessions, while others worry because they have very few possessions. Possessions or lack of it can make a person sad. Some are anxious because they cannot afford a brand new car. Others are anxious because some yo-yo put a big ding in their brand new car. There are so many opportunities to worry and be anxious. If new possessions, much possessions, or lack of possession can make a person sad, where then is a happy life? It is in a life totally free from anxiety and worry. And that's what we will see today. We will see how we can have such a life. In verse 22, Jesus mentioned two main causes for anxiety. The first one is food. The next one is clothes. These two necessary evils have caused many people to worry. For me, food is a better reason to worry than clothes. For my wife, it is the other way around. And you can tell by the way we look. She always looks good, and I'm always looking for food. But Jesus addresses the food first. I guess it is the most important. So I'm right, woman. He said not to worry about what we will eat. I do not worry about that. I worry about when we will eat. The basic need for man is food. In order to continue to live, we have to eat. In those days, the majority of people were farmers. They worked the land. Because of their lack of great agricultural machineries like we have today, John Deere and Caterpillar and all those machines, more people were involved. They had to be involved in agriculture. Many would work in the field. So when Jesus said that, they were thinking about planting and reaping. We think about supermarket, restaurant, fast food. Jesus was not talking about the finished product, but the worry that the farmer had when he put his seed into the ground. Will it rain enough? Will it grow? Will the crop be good? Will it be sufficient? For us, our worries are different. Will the store be open? Will there be some papayas left? Will we have enough money to pay for the food? Their worry was planting and reaping. Ours is buying, picking the best. Still, the command to all of those people is the same. Stop worrying about this. Then Jesus addressed the clothes. He said not to worry about what we will put on. Again, in those days, their clothes were not purchased at a department store like Marshall or Ross. They had to make their own from scratch, starting with the shearing of the lamb for the wool, making the material, sewing it together, making a robe or a coat. We have a total different picture when we hear Jesus telling us not to worry about what to wear. He's not talking about the lady looking at a closet full of clothes saying, I don't have a thing to wear. He's talking about all the work to be done by women to make the clothes in time for the different seasons and for everybody in the family. And still, his command to all those people is the same. Stop worrying about this. And then he explained in verse 23 that life is more than food and clothing. Food is meant to serve life. We are to eat to live and not live to eat. Clothes are to serve the body. The body is not to be driven crazy by clothes. Many people are driven crazy by clothes, running from store to store, following all the changing fads that keep on coming. Just keep your old clothes, like bell-bottom pants, that keeps on coming back. People are always full of anxiety when it comes to clothes. Think about this for a moment. He who provided the greater, that is life and the body, will he not also provide the lesser, the food and the clothing? So we need to stop worrying. Worry is destructive. It rips people apart. Corrie ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So you can tell how much faith you have by the amount of anxiety you have. Then Jesus mentioned two things to consider or to study closely in verse 24. Two examples from nature all around us. We can all, regardless where you live, what country you live, these two examples from nature you'll be able to see. So as far as food is concerned, he said, consider the raven, small bird. As far as clothing is concerned, consider the lilies of the field, flowers. The ravens do not sow, they do not reap, confirming that when Jesus was talking about food, he was really talking about the process by which food is grown. Birds do not harvest crop. I've never seen one with a little shovel, digging a little hole, putting a seed in, and with a little foot cover. I've never seen this. I've seen a lot of birds. I had parrots that were smart. They could not do that. They do not store any food in barns, like the rich farmer that we read in the previous section. And yet they are well taken care of, because God himself feeds them. God sees them, and he makes sure they are fed. In my house, they come and steal the cat food. I've seen the blue jay always come and steal food from the cat. And the cat just, he's a Christian cat. So you won't bother the burden. So Jesus explained earlier, if you remember, verses 6 and 7, that we are of more value than birds and he repeats it again here, then why should we worry? If God makes sure that the birds are fed, how much more will he make sure that we are fed, the sheep of his pasture? We are worth to God much more than birds. He did not redeem birds. He redeemed us. Then Jesus showed the folly of worrying in verses 25 and 26. What is accomplished by worrying? Can a short person really grow taller by worrying? Not at all. It is foolish even to think that it can be done. But look at it. Who, except a dwarf or a midget, would desire to add 18 inches to his height? Anyone here would like to be a foot and a half taller? Don't move, Grandma. Nor Becky. The Greek word here for stature refers either to height or age. So a person may worry all he wants. He cannot add 18 years. He cannot add 18 months. He cannot add 18 seconds to his life. And he cannot add 18 inch to his height. Worry cannot add one extra minute to a life, nor an extra inch to a height. The worries of the rich farmer that we read last week, verses 17 to 20, certainly did not extend his life, did it? Instead of adding life, worry took away from him. Worry cannot solve problems. Worry is a lack of faith in God's care for our life. It is almost an insult to him, saying that you won't take care of me, or you're not big enough to handle this, and you cannot help me. If we are worrying, we are not trusting. If we are trusting, we are not worrying. The two are opposite. And God wants us to trust him and not to worry. Worry is not only destructive, it is also deceptive. It gives us a false view of life and a false view of God. It convinces us that life is made up of what we eat and what we wear. And we get so fretful about these things, we forget the most important thing: to glorify God. That's what we were created for. Not to be the best dressed in town, to glorify God. And you can glorify God in rags, and you can glorify God in a nice suit. But that's what we were created for: to advance the cause of Christ, to advance the kingdom of God. And if you are interested and pursuing and doing any other things, then you're missing the purpose for which you were created. We were all created to advance the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. That's what Christians should be concerned with. Jesus was not suggesting that we sit around and wait for God to feed us. God feeds the birds, then he will feed me too. Look at the birds. Look how hard they work to stay alive. They go all over the place. They look for food. They do their part. And God is encouraging us to trust him, but also to use our abilities and our opportunities that he has given us to meet those needs. A little girl sat on the curb and she was crying. And a kind man thought that something awful had happened to her. So he asked her what was the trouble. And the little girl said, "I was just thinking that someday I will be a woman and I may marry and have a little girl just like me. And she might run into the street and be killed by a car. If that happened, I could not stand it. The little girl was borrowing trouble from tomorrow. There are people like this. She may not live to be a woman. She may never get married. She may not have a little girl. And the little girl may not run into the street and be killed by a car. Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble," in Matthew 6:34. In other words, we should not borrow trouble from the future. What if this happened? Oh, but what if that happened? And you start like the little girl. What if I have a little girl like me? This is crazy. We have all we can handle in one day. We are to trust God. What we fear may never come. William Inge said, "Anxiety is the interest paid on trouble before it is due." And that's true. We cannot pay in advance for something that may never happen. Then Jesus goes on and he says in verse 27, he said, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So the Lord now turns to another example from nature. He says, "Consider the lilies. How do they grow? Very naturally, without worrying. They just grow. After a summer rain, the mountainside might be scarlet red with them. And they bloom one day. They live very shortly. They're beautiful just for a short time, and then they die after that. Wood was rare in Israel. So it was the dried grass, the wild flower that were used in the oven to feed the fire. Even though the lilies were certain to end up in the fire, still God made sure that they were beautifully dressed. They do not spin," Jesus said. Again, we see that he was talking about the process of making clothes, not buying them. He said that Solomon, with all of his wealth, was not dressed as well. If ravens are fed and lilies are clothed, will God neglect his redeemed servants? No way. There is a double argument in verses 27 and 28. The first one is, if God dresses the wild flowers with such beautiful garments, he will certainly clothe his children with the garments that they need. And number two, if God provides for the short-lived grass, He will surely provide for His children destined for eternal glory. It is ridiculous, almost blasphemy, to think that God is more concerned with flowers, with grass, with birds, than with His own children. Notice how Jesus called His worrying followers. He calls them people of little faith. Verse 28. Here Jesus gives us the real cause for worry. Little faith. That's the cause of worry. If you worry, here's your answer. You have little faith in God. You're not trusting God. That's what really causes people to worry. Not trusting God. And the problem is not God having a little power. He can do anything. It is the faith that is being small. And there is a double warning in verse 29. Not to be consumed with food and clothes. And number two, not to have an anxious mind. Why not? Well, in the rest of verses 30 to 34, he tells us why not. For four good reasons. Reason number one, because that's how unbelievers live. In verse 30, it's okay for them to worry. They do not know any better. They do not know about the spiritual. They do not know about the power and the love of God. They are concerned only with the flesh and with this present life. They have nothing better to do than to get caught up with the fads and the fashions and the foods. They have no time for God. So it's okay for them. These things have their place, but should not have the preeminence or be a primary concern in the Christian life. It is not proper for a child of God to worry about food and clothing or any other needs that arises from day to day. Our Father is not just anybody. He is the creator of this universe. He is the Almighty God, and we need to trust Him. So reason number one, not to, because that's how unbelievers live. Do not live like unbelievers. Reason number two, he says, because your Father knows that you need these things. Jesus is not saying that these things are not necessary. Oh, you don't need clothes. And we get arrested, man. These things are needed. And God knows that. But will God, who has given life, withhold what life requires? Will God, who said not to expose our nakedness, withhold clothes needed to cover the body? Think about it. Not at all. He knows what we need, and He will provide what is needed. Worry is a sin. Many people do not know that. Many people do not confess that. They do not repent from that. And they need to. Whenever you do something contrary to what God said to do, you are sinning. It's a sin. You miss the mark. So worry is a sin. Worry will hinder our witness. How can we witness to a lost world and encourage people to put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ if they see us doubting and worrying and being all anxious? Peter Marshall, that's the late chaplain of the United States Senate, once prayed this, that ulcers would not become the badge of our faith. That's something. Then reason number three. He says, because all these things will be given to you. Verse 31. The only requirement is to make a simple adjustment of priorities, he mentioned here. Seek first the kingdom. Put the kingdom of God first. If we take care of the things that God wants us to take care of, he will take care of the rest. So let's put first things first. Let's not seek what pleases our selfish fleshly desires. Let's make the kingdom of God the first priority of our life. Then we have God's word that he will take care of all the other things in our life. Let's not complain about our needs not being met if we do not make the kingdom of God our first priority. This is how we are to adjust our priorities. We have here God's unfailing promise. If we care for his interest, he will care for ours. And then reason number four, because it is your Father's good pleasure to give. Verse 32. Nothing delights him more than to be able to give good things to his little flock. For him also, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The more helpless and weak the child is, the more love and the more care the mother will pour upon him. And it is the same thing with God. We are the flock of God, and Jesus is our good shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We don't have to worry. The good shepherd is watching over us, and he will take care of us. And then we have a final exhortation in verse 33, and then the reason for it in verse 34. And the exhortation is this: sell what you have and give to the poor. Now, this text has been terribly misinterpreted, terribly misunderstood, as if Jesus is saying to his followers here that they cannot have any possession. They have to sell everything they have and they have to give all the proceeds to the poor. Not at all. This is not what Jesus is saying. But if what you have is captivating your heart and is keeping you out of the kingdom of God, it is best for you to get rid of it and have eternal life. And Jesus we'll say the very same thing again later to a rich young ruler when we get to chapter 18. One thing prevented this young man from entering the kingdom, and it was his riches. So Jesus told him, and he said to him, that's a personal statement to one person. He told him to sell those things and give to the poor in chapter 18, verse 22. And the man became very sorrowful. And it says why? Because he was very rich. And he was not willing to part from it. Then Jesus said that it is very hard for those with riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the point is this: if his followers have a treasure on earth, they will think about it all the time. Their heart will be on that treasure. But if instead they have a treasure in heaven, safe from thieves, safe from decay by moths, and are rich towards God, as we saw in verse 21 earlier, They will be concerned with matters pertaining to the kingdom, where their treasure is. Their heart will be there, and they will not be anxious. Jesus is concerned with the heart. It is not wrong at all to own things, as long as they do not own you. We must be willing even to sell what we have and give to others if our heart has been captivated by material things and they own us. We cannot be owned by nothing else, by no one else, but our Redeemer. Rather than slowly be consumed by worry and anxiety, Jesus is saying here, sell what you have, man, and give it to the poor. Don't be consumed by worry and anxiety. It's not worth it. Many people worry about investing their money where it will be safe. Here's the recommendation of Jesus. Put it in eternal things, and you'll be sure it is safe. The only place where it's going to be safe. So Jesus pointed his disciples to permanent treasure. Someone said, happy is the man who is too busy to worry by day and too sleepy to worry by night. And that's great. The reason why to sell and give to the poor in verse 34 is because the heart always follows the treasure. Not only it follows it, but little by little, it appropriates the nature of the treasure. The person becomes like his treasure. If God is your treasure, you will become like him. If your treasure is money and gold, the heart will become more and more cold and hard as metal. If the treasure is the flesh, the heart will become more and more sensual. If the treasure is possessing material things, the heart will become more and more possessive. If the treasure is invisible, if the treasure is spiritual, the heart will be more and more directed to the invisible world, to the spiritual world. We have God's word that everything is going to fail. Everything is going to fall. Everything is going to burn. Everything is going to melt away. Whatever you see in this world. The most beautiful car, most beautiful home, the greatest clothes, they will get old, they will fade away, and they would be junk. The most beautiful body in time will get old. It will sag. It will get full of wrinkles, fat, and arthritis. I know by experience. If your heart is in these earthly things, you are destined to be very disappointed and heartbroken, because they cannot and they will not last. Where is your treasure? In the things of this world or in heavenly things? How big is your treasure in heaven? How much do you have laid up in heaven? How rich are you toward God? Do not make the mistake that the rich young ruler and the rich farmer made. They ignored God. They ignored others. They ignored the other world. The way that some people live confirms that they do not believe there is life after death. And the way some people give confirms that they do not believe it is possible to lay up treasures in heaven. We learned last week that today could be our last day. We could be called tonight, like the farmer was. If so, do you have treasure where you are going? It is going to be a long time. Eternity is a long time. If we send our money on ahead, then our love for the perishing things of this world will end. Our heart will be where the treasure is. Remember the story that I told you last week about the rich lady in heaven. Certain treasures can cause people to worry, while other treasures will not cause them to worry. If your treasure is in earthly possession, for sure you will worry and will be anxious. If your treasure is in heaven, you will not worry at all. You will not be anxious. Let God be the treasure of your soul. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Enjoy the blessedness of a life free from worry and anxiety, a life of dependence on the living God. If you belong to God, then it is His obligation to care for you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be anxious. The best investments are those we store, not in banks, but in the lives of others, for God Himself guarantees the high interest. So, our text this morning shows us the picture of two different men. One cares for himself. He's anxious for this life. He's worrying about food and clothing. And the other one seeks first the kingdom of God. And all things are provided for him by God. One is eaten by worries and anxiety. The other is content and blessed. We see in our text the cause of anxiety. But how can we have victory over it? What is the cure? What is the cure for anxiety? If the cause is a lack of faith, what is the cure for it? Five things. Number one is acceptance. Accept the things you cannot change. You cannot add an inch to your height. You cannot add a day to your life. You cannot change that. Does not make sense to worry about this. You are the way God wants you. Accept that. So number one is acceptance. Number two is contentment. Be satisfied with what you have received from God. You have exactly what He wants you to have. No more, no less. So be content. Number three, trust. Trust God because He knows your need. He feeds the bird. He clothes the grass and the flower. He will take care of His children, including you. Number four, proper priority. Make adjustments to your priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And number five, correct investment. Make the right investment. Invest in heaven. Invest in others. Invest in God, not only in yourself. Do not borrow trouble from tomorrow. Do not be anxious. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the lessons that You have for us this morning about worrying and anxiety. We thank You, Lord, that You explain to us the cause, what is causing it. It is a little faith. And we learn today the cure. And I pray, Father, for everyone that is here, everyone that came to meet with You today. So many people have different worries And I pray, Father, that today you would set them all free, that they would be as free as the birds, not worrying about what to wear, not worrying about what to eat, trusting you all the days of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Even unbelievers who worry about stuff all of their lives, they chase it and their heart is set on these things. All of their lives they live for these things. When they get older, they liquidate. My family, they're not saved. I'm the only one saved. And they all have been accumulating stuff as if the one with the most stuff wins. And then they realize, they kind of come to their sense and they start liquidating when they get 75 and 80. And they see at the end that life is not in the material things. They get older, they get closer to the cemetery, and they see that they cannot carry all these things. And if the only pleasures they had in life came from these material things, imagine how sad they are when they depart. Because they have nothing left. They're abandoning everything. And they have nothing set up for them, for where they're going. It's a miserable way to go. But when you know better, when you have a relationship with the Lord, when you know there is life after death, there is a place for you in heaven, and you believe that, and you start giving to the Lord, to others, now God is piling up for you rewards. So it's a win-win situation. But the problem is people have a little faith. They're not too sure something going to be there in heaven. They hesitate to give to others. I'm not going to have enough for me. They hesitate to give to God, their maker, because they're not sure. They not trust him. They don't have the faith. I don't know if there's really something there. And that's prevent them. And Jesus does not want us to be like this. Does not want us to doubt. He does not want us to have a little faith, but have a great faith in the Almighty God. We will lack nothing. He will take care of us. We are not to worry. A bad witness. Try to convince someone to come to the Lord that you can worry like me. Who would want that? But if they see you with the joy of the Lord and they see that you are not anxious and worry, they will want what you have. They will accept your message. Your witness will be real. And they will come to the Lord. And like you, they will be full of joy without worry, without anxiety. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May he bless your life, your week. May he help you to get rid of all worries and anxieties. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.